Okay.
Okay, I would like to call, let me just pull up the agenda, sorry. Resolutions. I had it here a moment ago. There we go. Okay. I would like to call the November 29th meeting of the Ulster County Legislature Energy and Environment Committee to order. And let's see, I guess just going in order, would the clerk kindly call the roll?
Yes, Mana Jo Green.
Present.
Mary Wuro. Not yet. Al Bruno.
Here.
Peter Criswell.
Here.
And Laura Petit. Not yet. So you have a quorum of three.
Okay, very good. Meeting has been called to order. And let's begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. And I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. And I think I've welcomed everyone. And I'd like to start by welcoming Mike Darcy. Mike is the new, let's see if I get the title right. I know it's got management. Mike, I'm going to let you do this.
Okay. Hi, everybody. So I'm Mike Darcy. I am now the Environmental Outreach Manager for the Ulster County Department of the Environment. I also work in the Office of Economic Development when I have a different hat on. Some of you know me from my previous work as a NYSERDA contractor working at RUPCO, where I did energy efficiency residential work for about 6 or 7 years. So my goal with the Department of the Environment is to promote and inform the large generators of food scraps, like you can see behind me, about our act, our recovery and food waste act, as well as redesign and relaunch the Ulster County Green Business Challenge. So I'm here to answer any questions that you have, talk to you about what my plans are for both programs moving forward, and hopefully you get to know me a little bit better than a Zoom screen. We'll meet in person one day.
Mike, if I could just ask you to clarify, it sounds like you have jobs in two different departments. Are they part-time or just, you mentioned economic department.
Well, so I'm splitting my office time between two because really the Green Business Challenge has a lot to do with the green economic development within the county. And that's gonna be a very big aspect related to finding funding for these projects and the development of future projects, as well as supporting current businesses.
Great. Great. That makes a lot of sense. Anybody have any questions for Mike?
Yes, I have a question.
Go ahead, Peter.
Hi. Welcome. Welcome and congratulations on your new position. As you know, the county's been in the process of getting a lot of money for the ARP A funding. And one of the things that we've done is we've looked at different buckets of ways that we're using that money. And one of the buckets that I'm in charge with looking at is food security. And so I'm really interested in some point in connecting with you about food security and specifically the law that you just talked about with waste and how we can divert some of that waste into food security programs. So just curious if you off the top of your head had any, didn't mean to put you on the spot, but if you had any thoughts about it, it'd be interesting.
Well, Peter, first of all, it's great to meet you. I really do appreciate the excellent question. I have learned a great deal about food waste in my short time that I've been in this position. I can tell you that we have a large amount of large generators of food scraps who are diverting their food scraps to local food banks through Hudson Valley Food Bank, as well as everywhere else they can find, including on some cases, diverting that food scraps to our local farms. So we do have a large number of them. If you look at what we're using through this act, we're looking at the food hierarchy, right? So the first steps of those food hierarchy is to reduce the amount of food that we're wasting at the source. The next one down is to donate that food. The next one below that is to donate the food for animal feed. My goal is to inform the public of what those options are locally for generators that aren't doing that currently. But I can tell you with absolute certainty, there are a lot of generators, and some of the largest ones are already donating their food scraps to our local food banks and food pantries.
Thank you so much for that answer. That's really great. I'm so glad that you're so focused on it already. So. Yeah. Thank you. And I look forward to working with you on it.
Sounds good, Peter. Thank you.
Recording.
Hi, Laura.
Thank you. I was having trouble getting in.
Legislator Burrow and Petit are with us now, too. So you have all five members.
And Mana is muted.
Mana, we can't hear you. You're muted.
Oh, I know. When I hit the video button, I accidentally must have hit the mute button. Thank you. I believe there is an organization that also focuses entirely on food reuse, primarily by food pantries, but also by agriculture. So if you're not yet in touch with them, I'll be glad. And they specialize in this area. So I think there's a lot to be done in that regard. And I also think you'll find that many of the large generators are already composting before the law goes into effect. In Ulster County, there's some wonderful examples ranging from Mohonk to Frost Valley, who are composting on site, to SUNY New Paltz that is working with a hauler who ends up bringing it to a composting processing facility, and Hannaford that is already doing anaerobic digestion. So although our law is a strong law, I don't think it will be that difficult to enforce because we're not starting from scratch.
Yeah, man, I couldn't agree with you more. I have had the pleasure of visiting many of the places that you listed, excluding Mohonk. But I have gone out to Frost Valley and met with their staff and toured their composting. And we just were in New Paltz last week to review what they're doing, and had a very strong meeting before then with community composting in New Paltz, and just went over what their facility does and the services that they provide schools like New Paltz and organizations. I have to be honest with you, I was so pleasantly surprised to see how many organizations have already taken the steps forward. One of my goals will be through this act is to take that education about the benefits of composting and reuse and recovery and trickle that down into the homes. So I really want that to be our starting point of large generators. And I want everybody in their leadership to teach their staff and their staff to teach their families and have it sort of go down the pike in the reverse way that it normally does, where we start at home and then we bring it to our companies. So it's going to work in the reverse, but it's definitely going to work.
Yep.
Any other questions for Mike? We'll go to Nick in a minute, but I also want to go back to the minutes before I forget. Legislator Bruno, please.
Yeah, real quick question to Michael. And I know it's probably a redundant question, but have you spoke to the local farmers, and specifically hog farmers, who utilize this. Like, I mean, I grew up on a pig farm and we used to travel to restaurant to restaurant, picking up, doing just what we're trying to advocate for now as feed. And yeah. I'm just curious if you have networked at all with the local farmers for that particular purpose.
I have. The Rondout Valley Growers Association, I've been in touch with them. That's one of the first, you know, I'm trying to take this from the top down again, using the hierarchy as what my priorities are. Food reduction at source, food donation to food banks to feed our local people. And as a county legislator, you know, we have a lot of need in this county for that. And then the next step down is using it for livestock feed. Now, the problem with that is that back in the day, I grew up on Kelder's farm on 209, right? So back then it was called My Joy Farm when I was in Rondout, right? That's right. I was in Rondout Middle School. It's called My Joy Farm, right? So, so the problem with doing that now is that there's a lot of regulations around the donation of food scraps to for use in animal feed. Sometimes it has to be cooked to a certain degree to get rid of any pathogens or anything that happens within those. So I've learned a lot as far as that goes. But I am definitely pursuing that as an option and doing my best to network the hell out of it.
The reason I ask that is there's a lot of large, I mean, huge livestock farms, whether it be hog production, which is the primary focus for, let's face it, for food waste.
Yeah.
There's a lot of big farms up in northern Ulster County and into maybe even Greene County. I know it's crossing the county lines, but
yep,
they're close enough.
You're not wrong, Legislator Bruno, and we just have to be attentive to what the state regulations revolving right around that are. And at some point, I'll reach out to the entity that regulates that, maintains that law, and enforces it, and I'll get more information on what we can do to support it.
Well, it's an awesome endeavor. I think it all works for everybody.
Great. Thank you.
And I would also recommend speaking directly with Legislator Litz. I've had many conversations with him as well. And are we good? Any other questions for Mike Darcy? Okay. Then at this point, just so that I don't forget later on in the agenda, I'd like to ask if folks have had a chance to look at the minutes, and I would entertain a motion for the minutes of the last meeting. And I'm looking at all of you and not directly at the agenda. So Fawn, can you just say the date for me?
It's November 1st.
For the meeting on November 1st.
I'll move that.
No. Go ahead.
Well, yes. I don't know. She froze up. So I don't know if it's possible, but I read the minutes and there was a specific resolution regarding the mandation of Ulster County to demand all new projects being non-fossil fuel. I had to leave the meeting and I apologize for that, but the meeting ran late and I had other meetings that I had to attend. I would like to publicly come out in opposition of that resolution, just to make it clear.
And I believe it's on tonight's agenda as well.
Okay.
Have a chance to discuss
but that was brought up in the meeting in the minutes, and I wanted to make sure that was brought out.
Okay. Madam Clerk, are you can you make that modification to be sure that statement is included?
I can certainly put a note in there.
Can I say
that, Fawn?
Are we allowed to do that? Actually, I don't think you can change the minutes of the meeting after the fact. I think the minutes are the minutes.
Right, the minutes are the minutes, but I just wanted to make it, because this is recorded, that I wanted to come out personally.
I understand
as against it. That's all.
Legislator Bruno, I understand what you're saying, but I don't think that you can go back and amend minutes for something that didn't actually happen in the minutes.
And that's why I put it actually in question, because I wasn't sure how that worked. But I had to leave the meeting because I had other meetings to attend. I couldn't be in three places at once.
It will certainly be a part of the minutes of this meeting.
That's for sure.
And I believe
it was.
I believe you discussed it at the October meeting. And it was very clear at the October meeting that you had concerns also, and that's in the transcripts.
I totally understand the intent. I just think legally you can't change minutes to add something that was not actually in there. So
thank you, Peter.
You're welcome.
All right. I was going to ask if we could adopt the minutes as amended, but it sounds like we will not specifically amend the November. It was documented in October and will come up again this evening.
We don't have a second yet, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Crystal moved it. Oh, and Legislator Wuro, did you just second?
And I can second. This is Laura.
I think Legislator Wuro did second by hand, by show, by raising her hand. So with that, does all in favor of adopting the minutes of November 1st, please signify by raising your hand and or saying aye. Okay. Is anyone opposed? All right. Motion carried. Minutes are adopted. And with that, I'd like to ask, Deputy Director Nick Vazda wanted to address the resolution to amend the food waste reduction and diversion law. And I may not be saying that exactly correct, but I will when it's time to vote on that resolution. But I did want to give Nick a chance to speak to it.
Good evening, everybody. I don't have much prepared on discussing the amendment to the Food Waste Act. The memo that our department sent on back in September contains our recommendations about amending the law, particularly around whether or not the exemption should be removed for generators of food scraps greater than 2 tons per week that are currently regulated under the state law. Our opinion is that the problem is an accounting problem with the DEC, and that we've been engaging with the DEC to help them determine the numbers correctly for what the food scraps processing capability is within the county, so that those generators who are regulated and required only to donate the food scraps will also be required to recycle the food scraps. And that's a process that will take a little bit of time, but that engagement has started, and we're assisting with feeding information to the state around which generators within the county are already diverting their food waste at that 2 ton per week level. That's my only comment there. The other item I'd like to discuss is last month's meeting. The committee requested more information about the environmental considerations checklist. And I have an overview I can give if that's still desired at this time.
I believe that will also come up later in the agenda because there's a resolution. So if you don't mind holding off on that.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I don't see the sponsor here, but we can discuss the resolution anyway. In terms of the recommendation of working with the DEC, I strongly agree that the department should work with the DEC, because I think the DEC has done a disservice by creating a capacity threshold to which the facilities are not necessarily responding accurately, and there needs to be more work done in that regard. One of my main reasons for wanting to remove the offending language, which in my opinion is turning over the regulation of the larger generators to the DEC. There was a very good reason why that was suggested, but at that time we didn't know what the implications would be. But it would not only exempt, I think it's something like 28 out of 35 large generators, and over time that might or might not be corrected. But it also means that healthcare facilities and schools or universities would also be exempted because the state exempts them. I don't know for sure how many facilities, healthcare and schools and universities would be affected, but I do know that, for example, Ellenville Hospital, which may not generate more than 2 tons a week, I haven't checked that, but they are already composting. SUNY Nupas is already composting. So if there are similar facilities, I don't think we should have two different standards within Ulster County. We have home rule. I believe all of the attorneys, that is the legislative attorney, and if I'm not mistaken, the county attorney, have considered preemption and are okay with the language in the amendment. I'm not sure if I'm being clear, but if anybody has any questions or other considerations, please raise them now. I think Dave Haldeman, do you have your hand up?
I did not. Thank you. I did not.
I don't know if we can lower it or, but anyway, does anybody else have any questions or comments? All right. And again, we're going to get to that because we have to act on it, but it's on our agenda to act upon tonight. Before we go to the resolutions, so that he doesn't have to stay for the whole meeting unless he wishes to, I'd like to ask Tim DeGraff if he has any updates for this committee from the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency.
Hey, everybody. I don't have anything substantial to update you on since the last meeting, but I do have a couple updates on items that I spoke about last meeting. Last week before Thanksgiving, we did receive back some of the composting surveys that we had sent out to the town transfer stations. And Angie's working on putting them all together because there was varying degrees of responses, I'm glad that we were, engaged by some of the public, but sorting through all that stuff and not necessarily ignoring, but using the ones that are of much more use to us than saying somebody, some of the nasty comments we might have received for maybe ideological reasons or what have you, weeding them out because those won't necessarily help us. But we would just want to be able to summarize everything. And when we have that, we'll pass that along to you guys. Because I think I think it was a very, very good activity and process that we went through to hear those responses from really, you know, your constituents, really. So when that's summarized, I will pass that along. The other item I wanted to update you on since the last meeting is, and I think you guys get these resolutions as well, but we're up to 8 resolutions from towns that are against the landfill. I don't think it's a surprise to anybody. It's something that we'll have to deal with no matter what we decide to do or what direction we go. But I felt you guys should at least know who the towns were in case you didn't get that passed to you through the legislature itself. And those towns are Rosendale, Ulster, Lloyd, Shamgump, Esopus, Plattekill, Hardenburg, and today I received the town of Woodstock. So if anyone has any questions, let me know.
Has anyone said, yes, we'd love to have a landfill in our...
Not yet.
Got it. Thanks, Tim.
But the agency is going through a process using a consultant, and I think it's a very sound initial screening process. You know, there's going to have to be a lot of work done, and I think I don't want to speak for others, but I would venture to say that most of us want to see the landfill sited in the most appropriate location. So, you know, the towns can say, essentially, we don't want it here and it's going to mean more truck traffic and whatever else they are saying. But having carefully watched the initial landfill siting process that led to no landfill and what is it, $8 million a year fuel being, it's not just the fossil fuel, it's also the driver and, you know, the truck and everything, but a lot of fossil fuel being burned to transport our waste across the state. I think what we really need is the most appropriate evidence-based siting process that includes a very fair host community benefit that would offset negative impacts. And we'll see how that goes. Rosendale, I represent Rosendale. I haven't had a chance to speak with the town board about that, but I do think that each of the municipalities, you know, it needs to be considered equally whether or not they've passed a resolution saying that they go ahead, Legislative Brennan.
Yeah, I'd like to add, I'm sorry, Chairman Manna, but I think we need to look at a lot of different alternatives besides just landfill. There's a lot of energy producing plants that could be built in lieu of a landfill, whether it be burn plants that can be used to generate power or steam or whatever use we want to use it. But there's a lot of alternatives that should still be looked at besides just a hole in the ground that we're putting our garbage in. I think we need to look at all of the alternatives, not just the landfill.
Yes, please, Legislator Petit.
Thank you. I was just going to go back to, if I could, through the previous report, you know, since we are looking at possibly siting landfills and we want to cut back on our waste as much as we can, the questionnaires that you sent out and, you know, surveys from the public are really the best way to figure out what the public's looking for and get their buy-in. Were they questions or opinion, or did people just forego the questions and decide to write nasty grams on there? I mean,
no, it was basically 3 questions that, you know, kind of, and I might as well just forward it along to you guys when I get into the office tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yeah, Angie had put it together, and it was basically, you know, do you compost already? Would you be interested in composting at this transfer station? And are you aware of the savings that would be involved?
Oh, perfect.
But I'll forward that along to you. But it, like I said before, I think some people are just going to, from an ideology standpoint, they're just going to greet something like that a certain way. It's just the way it is. But the exercise I still think was excellent. I thought it went out very well, went off very well.
Any other comments on the UCRA report? One thing I'd like to stress is that we have an ad hoc working group that has an agency board member participating and three legislators and three others who have considerable expertise in solid waste management. And we are focusing on developing a zero waste implementation plan that would maximize the waste diversion. Not that the agency is not already doing significant waste diversion, but in the local solid waste management plan, there was a sense that although a lot of suggestions for additional waste diversion are embodied in that document, there was not the same level of implementation planning. So we know that this year the agency, according to the local solid waste plan, is, and I think it may have actually been last year, but we had COVID to deal with and so forth, but to actually do a landfill feasibility study. And there are other very specific actions that the agency will be undertaking according to the local solid waste plan, but and on a very specific timeline. But that was not the case for the waste diversion strategies. And there are additional waste diversion strategies that other communities are using. And so we're hoping to update the zero waste plan that came out of the Recycling Oversight Committee to create a companion document for waste diversion. And every 2 years, the plan is up for review by the agency, and then they would interact again with DEC, and we'd like to have it ready. And it will include reference to, but there's yet one more layer, and that is in the capital improvement plan, there is a line in that plan to do a feasibility study for a resource innovation center that was essentially John Wackman's vision, where hard to recycle materials could either be repaired for reuse or recycled, even if that meant taking them apart to the point of getting it down to the recyclable materials and everything in between. And a very excellent two-page document that covered a lot of information was presented to the Zero Waste Implementation Planning Group. And we have that available, and there's quite a lot of interest in working on that. So right now it's just a line in the capital improvement plan, but I'm hoping it's something that together we will actively work on. And for $75,000, you know, it sounds like a lot of money, but this kind of project would involve a lot of research. Where would be the most ideal site for a facility? What parts of that waste diversion could be done by existing facilities and so forth? And we're hoping ultimately that Ulster County can become a model of sound solid waste management for the entire Mid-Hudson region. And Emily Hauser, who worked for the agency and works for the DEC, is the facilitator for what they call the materials management group of the 7-county sustainability coalition. So it potentially could all link up so that we didn't have to have a mattress repurposing facility in all 7 counties. Maybe a county would take that and another county would take on another material, and altogether we could really, I don't think we'll ever achieve zero waste, but we'll be able to divert so much waste that if we do site a landfill, it can be seen as an asset that we want to protect and make last as long as possible. So excuse my soapbox, but it's something I'm passionate about. And I know that that others in this meeting share that desire to really divert waste, create jobs, and move us toward a circular economy. So anything else on?
I had a quick question, Chairman Green.
Please.
Has the idea of, I remember a couple years ago reading about the possibility of a joint venture between several counties for a landfill, is that totally off the table at this point, or is there still conversation about that?
Are you speaking about the GUS, the Green Ulster Sullivan concept?
Correct, exactly.
Yeah, that had fallen by the wayside. We did the feasibility studies, everything was a go, but elections happen. Politicians came and went, and that never ended up getting off the ground. As far as the more specific details on that, Tim Rose, who was the executive director at the time, and Fred Wadnola, who was the chair, were the two who were the most involved in trying to make that happen. So I would have to touch base with them to get any more specific details as to why. But I know a main point was, for instance, the chair of Green County's legislature. He left. I don't know if he resigned or didn't run for re-election, but he was one of the people that was, helping to push it along. And then all of a sudden he wasn't there. So
it'd just be interesting to look and see if that was worth dusting off again and seeing if there's, any merit to looking at that possibility.
Well, it's certainly worth it to keep in mind. Sure.
Anything else? All right, let's see. I'm going to be pulling up the agenda with the resolutions, but Dave Haldeman, is there anything you want to share from the EMC while I grab that?
I have nothing at this time.
Okay, all right. So the first resolution is resolution number 551, adopting the proposed local law number 8, a local law amending the Code of the County of Ulster, solid waste article 4.
I'll move it for discussion.
Okay. Food waste prevention and recovery in relation to composting. We've already had some discussion. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All right. Any further discussion? We've heard from Costa and You heard my reasons for wanting to move forward.
I'd like to call the roll.
All right. All in favor of the proposed amendment to that solid waste law?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? It appears, let's see, we did see all the legislators. Okay, so hearing no opposition, the proposed amendment for which there has been a public hearing passes and will be considered by the full legislature. All right. And let's see, next is resolution number 554, authorizing the chair of the county legislature to enter into an agreement with Ulster County Soil and Water Conservation District for the 2022 appropriation. And I believe, did I see that? Yes. Ulster County Soil and Water District. Can you wait?
I'll move that for discussion.
Okay.
Second.
And Legislator Green, if I may just say quickly to this. So this was an amendment that I put into in the process of the sort of larger appropriation for legislative programs dollars. We've decided to pull out Soil and Water and Cornell Cooperative and the libraries. And Mark, I'm correct on this, right? This is, yes. And so basically what it did was just pull it out, bring it to committee so that it could be considered. So hopefully these organizations would have this solidified for their 2022 budget. So I just wanted to give a little background on that.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
And I believe Adam Doan is on the call if you
have a question
for him.
Can you weigh in?
Sorry, what was that?
Would you like to weigh in on this resolution?
And I know we just met back at the October meeting, so I just wanted to be here in case anybody had any questions, but I do appreciate the committee taking it up and Legislator Criswell sponsoring it. It's a restoration of the funding to our pre-COVID level, and certainly important for us in terms of day-to-day operations and whatnot. So I do appreciate the opportunity to maybe get back to that pre-COVID funding.
Great. Any other, please go ahead.
Thank you. I do have some questions. I've been noticing over the last couple of years, there's been some duplication of services between Ulster County Soil and Water and Cornell, like with the slope stabilizations and or bank stabilizations. Is that something that's going to continue, or do you work together using the same budget if it's a similar project?
It really depends on where in the county we are. When we're talking the Ashokan watershed, then it's a combination of New York City funding that we get along with Cornell Cooperative Extension of Ulster County, who's our partner in the Ashokan Stream Program. If we're outside of the Ashokan watershed, then it's more of a district, soil and water district responsibility dealing with things like bank erosion and whatnot. That said, we coordinate very closely with Cornell. I speak with Jared, the executive director, on a pretty regular basis so that we're kind of working collaboratively as opposed to duplicating. I hope that answered the question.
Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, I will call the question. All in favor of, let me just say it correctly. Right. Aye. Resolution. Go ahead. Okay. Resolution number 554 for Soil and Water appropriations, please signify by raising your hand and or saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Laura?
Okay. Is anyone?
I don't see Laura.
Nobody sees Laura.
Okay.
Laura, can you?
I can record this as a 4-0 with her if she stepped away.
Okay. Got it. Okay. So hearing no negative votes, the resolution passes 4-0. And we will move on.
Thanks all. I appreciate that. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Adam.
Take care, Adam.
Yep, talk soon.
Okay, resolution number 557, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 9, a local law amending the Code of Ulster County, chapter 131 for vehicles. The sustainable green fleet policy in relation to strategies and goals to be held on January 4th, 2022. Does anyone,
I'll move that for purpose of discussion.
I'll second it.
Okay.
I'll call a roll.
Oh, wait. Peter, was that
all I was going to say is public hearing. I'm always for public hearings.
Exactly. I'd like to call a roll.
Yes, you're welcome to do so. All in favor of the motion.
Aye.
Opposed. Okay, Mary, that was an in favor. Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you. And that resolution passes, and now we're up to
558. I'd like to make the motion that we bring discussion
on environmental consideration checklist. Okay, and I think we already have an environmental checklist in use, and the main purpose of this resolution is to ensure that the information garnered is included when a resolution goes to Public Works and Capital Projects and ultimately to the legislature. I think if I understand it correctly. So is there any? Go ahead, Legislator Criswell, please.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm very much in favor of this resolution. I think, you know, having a solid checklist that we're looking at for every project that we're doing can only be a positive thing. You know, it's not like it's locking certain things in, but it's having a very clear set of guidelines when looking at projects. And we've been talking about this. So I'm really happy that this has come before us at this point.
And it was moved by Legislator Bruno. I didn't hear the second.
I had seconded it.
Sorry.
Legislator Bruno, your comment?
Yeah, and I want to echo Legislator Criswell, because, well, we have what's called a timeout at the hospital when you're working with a patient. And this is exactly what this is. It's like we need to actually look at everything before we move forward. And I support this thing 100%.
Okay, and any comment from the executive branch? Are you? Yeah. Okay. I see Legislator Petit is back. I don't know if she can turn her video on and unmute, and we will call the question. Okay, all in favor of, I can't see the resolution number at the
558.
558. Please raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And anyone opposed? Motion carries unanimously. And I want to say that several years ago, I would say it was probably 3 years ago, because it was when at that time, Legislator Nolan was on Public Works with myself and Legislator Litz and others. And we had asked for something like this. And the Department of Environment very carefully went through all of the essentially sustainability resolutions that had been passed by this legislature over the past, well, went through the whole list and created a checklist for you know, purchasing and public works and all the departments that are involved in bringing forward proposals to use. And it's been in use successfully. And the only thing was that unless we asked ahead of time, we didn't get to see the results, but I think this is a good way to connect the good work departments are doing with the legislative process, the committee process, and then the full legislature. So good work. And I think we have one last resolution. Resolution number 568, authorizing the legislature to enter into an intermunicipal agreement with New York City DEC for completion of an Ulster County natural resource inventory and cloud-based mapping portal grant project, amending the 2022 capital budget. Do I hear a motion?
I'll move that.
Second.
Great. Any discussion? All right. Hearing none. All in favor of resolution 568, please raise your hand, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Legislator Petit, can you?
Yeah, we have, you have a quorum, so we also enough said aye. So let's go.
Okay.
We're going to be here all night.
Yeah, it's been a long day.
Yeah, it has. Keep in mind, with all due respect, Chairman, all of us have worked all day long.
Yes. Okay, let's see. We have a couple other quick items of old business. I think we've really talked about the food waste Recovery Act guidelines. Fawn, am I forgetting something on old business here?
No, that was those guidelines were sent to you, and they are also attached. You know, they're on the cloud file if anyone wants to review them. I just
okay. And I think right now we can pass on the resolutions under discussion. I have nothing to add on the resolution. I was sponsored.
I'd like to make a motion. We adjourn, Chairman.
Okay.
Oh, you're chomping at the bit tonight, huh?
been a long day.
I would like to say just one quick thing on the Climate Smart, and then we absolutely will adjourn.
I'm sure you do.
Hey, this is my thing. I do want to say that the solar mapping project is going extremely well. We have 15 municipalities from the region that are taking seriously the best way to site solar and other renewables, and also storage within their municipalities, and they are going to actively the part of the climate solution that is solutions that are mandated by New York State Climate Act. And Legislator Bruno Saugerties is taking leadership in this regard. So I want to acknowledge that and thank them for the good work that they're doing. And I believe City of Kingston, Rosendale, Marbletown, and several others are part of this project, which will be ongoing. So if your municipality is not yet participating, let's see if we can get them to in 2022. That's it, I promise. I heard a motion to adjourn and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
By saying aye or raising your hand.
And Chairman Green, thank you for your leadership in this arena.
Oh, my great pleasure.
And I just quickly want to say this is my last meeting. Anna, thank you. We've worked together for 10 years and I'll miss all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Likewise. I'll be well. And thank you all for attending.
Thank you.